this story for our lives of how to keep our heart right before God. And we just learn a lot, I think, from this message of Saul and David. So chapter 18, go ahead, Brandon. We'll start with verse 5. Chapter 18 and verse 5. And David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely. This is going to be a key throughout this whole message, is how David conducted himself. And it teaches us as Christians how we should conduct ourselves. I put it on Facebook right before church, and probably everybody's like, really? Or that makes no sense. But it really is deep if we think about it. It's really, not because I put it on there, just I think it's deep. Doing the right thing is never the wrong thing. Now, really let that process. It sounds like, well, yeah, duh. But sometimes our flesh gets in the way, and we know what the right thing to do is, but we don't do that. And we end up doing the wrong thing. And we may think, I'm tired of being abused. I'm tired of being ran over. I'm tired of being, you know, prodded at. But doing the right thing is never the wrong thing. And David here, as we see, as we read throughout this lesson, is going to always take the high road. It's important to take the high road because God always honors that. So he sent him out. He behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came in that David returned home from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his ten thousands. And Saul was very wroth, very mad at the saying. It displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Jealousy is setting in Saul's heart because they cried out, David's doing 10,000, Saul's doing, he begins to measure himself. It's very important we don't try to measure ourselves when we're being used by God. Just fulfill the plan God gave you. Fulfill the field God gave you. Jealousy is a very dangerous thing because when we start being jealous of other people, then our hearts start to turn. Saul was anointed by Samuel to be king. Saul was supposed to be king. But now, and understand, Saul appointed David. This is Saul's man. In my opinion, Saul should have been celebrating David's victory. It still reflects Saul, doesn't it? Still reflects his kingdom. Still reflects the land of Israel. Still reflects his God. If we could learn to celebrate and have victory with other saints and not be jealous and not put them down, but celebrate with them, it's a reflection of our Heavenly Father. It's a reflection of King Saul's leadership by David being recognized by killing tens of thousands. That made Saul look good, but Saul didn't see it that way because Saul's heart was about himself and not about celebrating what David, who he had appointed victory, giving him honor and celebration. Should have been honoring David, not getting jealous. And Saul, look what I love how verse 9 words this. So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Gave him the eye. Started watching him. He started really watching what this David was going to do because he felt threatened that David was going to steal his glory and steal his thunder. If we could recognize we are part of God's kingdom, each of us have a role. You know, I don't know what my future holds. My future in reality probably will never be pastoring a mega church, and I'm fine with that. But what I have to understand is I have to walk the road God's given me. I have to use the anointing he's placed me in, and I must stay true to his calling in my life. And if I can do those things, guess what? I'm part of the same kingdom the mega church preacher is and the little country Baptist preacher is. I'm the same kingdom. I'm part of the same kingdom that one soul at a time, one life at a time, one heart at a time being changed by the kingdom of God. We should celebrate victories, not despise them. We should honor victory, not reject them. And Saul's heart began to turn here because David was getting credit and glory. Once again, this was Saul's man. He should have been proud. Don't as parents, most normal parent, don't we want our kids to out-succeed us? I mean, I want my three kids to out-succeed me by far. I would love for Christian to say, Dad, guess what? I got a job making six figures a year. I wouldn't be like, well, six figures. I had to eat pinto bean cornbread growing up. I didn't have two nickels to rub together. You going to make six figures? I wish I'd make poor me. Heck no. I'm going to be celebrating. Six figures for you means money for me. See, we got to change our thinking. Yes, Christian, I'm proud of you. Oh, my gosh, you got this beautiful home on the lake. I'm not going to say I never had a home on the lake. Proud of you. We want our children to succeed above ourselves because we love them. We want them to do better than we did in the natural because we love them. Saul should have said, David, you know what Saul should have been doing? That's right, my boy. He killed 10,000. That's my man. Give me a D-A-V-I-D. What does that spell? David. Yeah, yeah. That's my boy. That's my man. That's my homie. I am the one that put David there. And he's bringing our Heavenly Father, Jehovah Jireh, all the glory. He should have been praising and celebrating with them, not letting jealousy get in his heart. But see, when we let the enemy come in and begin to put that jealousy and that envy and that strife in our hearts, it turns us away from God. We must remain humble. David always remains, we'll read, you'll see, he remained humble. So Saul now has got the eyeball on David. Verse 10. It came to pass on the morrow, the next day, that the evil spirit from God, which is worded odd, it's not of course from God, but this evil spirit was allowed to come upon Saul. He prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now David played music for King Saul. And Saul cast the javelin, for he says, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Saul tried to kill David with a javelin. You imagine? Marty's playing the keyboard. All of a sudden, whoosh, trying to kill him. Why? Because David was getting credit and David was being favored by God. Once again, the Philistine victories benefited Saul. It benefited King Saul. He was the king. I mean, any good leader will tell you, surround yourself with the best possible people. And true leaders don't care who gets the credit. That's truly the sign of a true leader. They don't care who gets the credit. You know, we are blessed, this church, to have Randy in our children ministry. He is absolutely incredible. Does a wonderful job. Wonderful job. You know, his job reflects Living Word. His job reflects, Bill Fuller, who preached a few weeks ago for me, heard great things about his message. It was, y'all like Bill better than me. No, that's my boy. I knew y'all would like him. That's why I asked him to preach. That's my boy. That's Billy Jr. That's my boy. Yes. Proud of him. Proud. If we could learn to celebrate with each other instead of being jealous of each other. I mean, man, Saul's heart was beginning to really grow dark now because of David's accomplishments. And now the devil's getting in him. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. See, people get nervous around the real anointing of God. They get afraid because Saul understood if God's with David, guess what? God's going to promote David. And David's going to arise and probably going to take my throne. So he was afraid of David. And Saul removed himself. Therefore, Saul removed him from him, removed David from him, and made him his captain over 1,000. He went out and came in for the people. And David behaved himself wisely. Once again, see, David's, even though, now think about this, he's still working for the man that's trying to kill him. He's still honoring Saul's word. He's still doing what Saul tells him because he's king. And David recognizes God put him on that throne. Who am I to question that? I'll do what I'm supposed to do and trust God take care of the rest. He's honoring that authority. He's honoring that anointing. Verse 15. But all of Israel and Judea loved David because he went out and came in before them. Now, where am I at now? Go to the next scripture. Now we're going to be in chapter 19. Go to chapter 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all of his servants that they should kill David. Now he's getting his son involved, and all of his servants trying to get rid of David. But Jonathan's son, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill you. Now therefore, I pray, take heed to thyself under the morning, and hide in a secret place, or abide in a secret place, and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of you, and what I see, and what I will tell him. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father. And Saul said to him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against you, and because his works toward thee were good. Everything David was doing was a benefit to Saul. So why was he so mad? Why was he so angry? Everything David did, he was honoring Saul. Everything Saul told him to do, he did. Because David was honoring God. When I do premarital vows, things I always include is the verse in Ephesians 6 that talks about husbands loving your wives, Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. And then it talks about wives, submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. See, when we respect authority, we're respecting God. We may not always like that authority. I know we don't always like our boss. I know some of our bosses can be jerks. We don't agree with how they talk to us. We don't agree with I know all of us have thought this because we're all conceited in some way. I could do that job 10 times better than they could. We've all thought that. And maybe you could. But the point is that boss is in the place of authority. And David's example teaches us that we are to honor and do our part, let God do his part, but do our part to honor that authority. The Bible tells in Hebrews that the powers that are ordained by God. The powers that are in the earth are ordained by God. Whether it's the White House, whether it's our councilman, whether it's our senator, our U.S. congressman, you know, whether it's a school principal or a boss at work or whoever that authority is. We have to believe what the Word says, that as we honor authority, we're honoring God. As wives honor their husbands, they're honoring God. As husbands love their wives, they're loving God. We can't get away from that. And David is doing his part of honoring God, even though Saul is trying to kill him. He's still fighting for King Saul. He's still doing what he said. And now here is Saul making a secret plan to try to kill him. Go to the next verse. Verse 5. For he did put his life in his hand, and he slew the Philistines, David did. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all of Israel. All of Israel was blessed by David. Thou sawest it. You did rejoice, Daddy. Wherefore, then will you sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? How many times do we destroy people without a cause? We don't even know the situation. We don't even know them. But we talk about them, or we get on the bandwagon, or we don't understand what they're going through or where they're coming from, and we slay them with our words or our attitude or our actions. David had done nothing but good for King Saul. Nothing but good. He's wanting to kill him. And once again, everything David did benefited Saul and his kingdom. He could never see that. And Saul hearkened to the voice of Jonathan. He listened to his son. And he swore, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David. Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul when he was in the presence, just as he was in time past. And there was war again. And David went out. He fought the Philistines. He slew them with a great slaughter. And they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. Here he is again. And David played with his hand. Then Saul sought to smite David to the wall with a javelin. But he slipped out of Saul's presence. and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So now David's on the run from Saul. David's got to be thinking, I've been so faithful. Why are you trying to kill me? I've done nothing but good for King Saul. I've done what he told me. I've honored him. I've listened to him. I've obeyed him. And he's trying to kill me. There are people in our lives that will try to destroy us without a cause as well. Just because we're Christians or because they're jealous or because they don't like us and they'll try to destroy us without a cause. We take the high road, church. Christians take the high road. The best example we have to show Christ is we take the high road. And we don't always do that. I understand it. A simple example is you're going down the road, somebody lays the horn on you, makes you mad, and you lay the horn back on them and give them a dirty look. We have stooped the same level. We have not took the high road. I've done that many times. I used to scare Mel in my younger days, and now the roles reverse a little bit. I've calmed a little down, and she's picked it up. But I used to go by cars, and when I pass one, I used to go and look at them like this. I want them to look at me. Well, look at me, because they tick me off. That's a great example of Christ. That's why you'll never see a Jesus bumper sticker on my car. You ever see them Jesus bumper stickers on cars, and you see them shooting birds? What? Yeah, you're a Jesus follower? I mean, my God. But if we take the high road and just do what's right, that's the strongest example people see of a living Savior in us. We can all act like fools. That don't take any willpower to act like a fool. But it does take willpower to take the high road. And David has always took the high road. To this point, he's taking the high road. He keeps honoring Saul the best he can. Where are we at now? Oh, verse 11. Okay. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him. Now they're watching Saul. I mean, he's got spies watching David. And to slay him in the morning. They're laying wait for him to kill him that next morning. And Michael or Michelle, I'm not sure if I pronounce that's a woman's name. It's probably not Michael. Michelle, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life, tomorrow you shall be slain. So his wife let David down, good wife, through a window. And he went and he fled and he escaped. Now think about this. Your wife is helping you lower you out the window to get you away. Because David is about to be killed if he don't leave. His wife took an image, laid it on the bed, put a pot pillow of goats. Put a pot pillow of goats and hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I skipped that. I'm sorry. Go to the next one. So the last thing he did, his wife lowered him out of the house. He's on the run. Now we're in chapter 24. 24 verse 1. 24 and 1. It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, it was told him, saying, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel, and he went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheep goats by the way, and there was a cave. Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Now I want you to visualize this story just unfolding. David's hiding in a cave. Saul's right there where he is at. But Saul doesn't know that. But David knows Saul's there. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand. Talking about Saul being delivered into David's hand. That thou mayest do it to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. Saul never knew it happened. He's so close to King Saul, he cuts a piece of his garment off. But it doesn't harm him. He could have killed him right then, and he'd been over. His enemy would have been gone, and in his eyes, it would have been justified. Lord, he's trying to kill me. I got a right to defend myself and get rid of him. But he had so much honor and so much respect for this king, this anointed one that God had put in place. See, that is something we have lost as society, church, is respect and honor for authority. I talk to a lot of people, talk to different people that work in the school system, the way kids talk to teachers, the way kids talk to coaches, the way parents act when they go to a schoolhouse and pretty much cuss a teacher out for something their child more likely 9 times out of 10 is guilty of, but they want to cuss the teacher out. Are you serious? What are we teaching our young people? I knew, and we've always, all three of our kids, if we got a call from the teacher, pretty much they were right. We knew that because we lived with our kids. We knew them. So don't give me the hogwash. You wasn't doing nothing. You don't get called down for doing nothing. You get called down for doing something. And so we've lost that respect because our kids hear how we talk about people. We are in a society now, church, where our law enforcement has been so soiled, so degraded by society. It has came from leadership and people of high influence that has dogged the law enforcement force. Yes, they don't always do everything right. You got sometimes 3 seconds to make a decision. Let's see how you do. Somebody's running from you and the adrenaline's pumping and your life's in threat. Let's just see how, some of us have beat our kids. You talking about a criminal running from you? What would you do to them? And so, but we've been taught police officers are wrong and they're bad and they're abusive, blah, 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 blah. And then we're taught our teachers are wrong and they can't teach. And, coaches don't play my boys and the coach don't see what I see in my kid. And I remember a day, and I'm not that old, growing up where I called people by their last name and I respected people. If I saw a manager in a grocery store or a manager anywhere I was at walking around, I had respect for them. Wow, that's the manager. That's the boss in the store. Not anymore. We've lost that honor. We've lost that respect. David is teaching all of us a very valuable lesson. We are to honor, whether we agree or not, we are to honor the position and the office of authority. Because as we do that, we are honoring God. And that's the big picture. We're honoring God. And I know it's hard. I know that it's easy to always fuss and always go against that which we think is wrong. But our generation, we see the result of what has happened there. We see the result of a society that blames everybody for everything instead of personal responsibility. David had done no wrong. But he wasn't blaming nobody, and he wasn't whining. He just trying to save his life. He wasn't talking about Saul. He wasn't cursing Saul. He wasn't having a secret plan to try to kill King Saul. He's simply trying to get out of the way to avoid being killed. That's all he was doing. Verse 5. David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up, go to Carmel, go to Nabah, and greet them in my name. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong chapter right now. I'm sorry. It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Here tells the condition of David's heart. He was so upset that he didn't even did that much. What have I done? I've cut off a piece of my king, my master, my leader. I've cut a piece of his skirt off. He was convicted by that. What if we had that same sensitive, tender conviction again? Church, we need that. We've been so desensitized by society that we have, I think, sometimes gotten a little hard on things that we used to be soft to. We've gotten a little hard on things that we used to be very tender to. Things that used to bother us maybe don't bother us the way it did because we've evolved and allowed society, the world, the enemy, whoever around us to desensitize our heart. We got to remain humble before God. If you want to be cocky in the gym lifting the weights, that's fine. You want to be cocky driving your Mustang, that's fine. But don't be cocky with God. Be humble before the Lord and keep that heart of humility. David was so convicted that he had even touched King Saul. Verse 6, he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Man, what a heart David had. What character, what integrity. Here Saul is trying to kill him multiple times with a spear. He's ran him out of his own town. He's chased him down like a hound dog in a wilderness. He's brought thousands of people with him to kill him. Here David has his chance to jump, to pounce upon him. But he took the high road and says, "I can't touch him. The Lord put him in place." If we could recognize the authority comes from God, we would have that all respect again for those in that authority. He was showing an example of servantship and a humble heart unto the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words. He calmed his servants down, saying this, that we are not going to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. He let Saul escape. David also arose afterward, went out to the cave and cried after Saul. Now, he's going after Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stopped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Picture this, church. We won't even talk to somebody who's ticked us off. We don't have. We give them the hand, right? Talk the hand. Don't even want anything to do with them. Here, Saul was trying to kill little David. And all David had done was good, 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 over and over. He had killed thousands of the enemy for King Saul. He had destroyed many armies of the Philistines. He had brought nothing but glory and favor and honor to all of Israel. And he's trying to kill him. And here David goes before him, bows on the ground, face to the ground, total submission to King Saul. That takes integrity. That takes a conditioned heart for God. He bowed down before him. Verse 9, he said, "Saul, wherefore hast heardest your men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And some bade me, encourage me to kill you. But my eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." That is so powerful. It wasn't David's job. David was keeping in character where God had placed him. He was keeping the place where God had placed him. Remember, Samuel anointed Saul to be king in the very beginning. God directed the prophet Samuel to anoint Saul as king. And as long as he was king, David's going to honor that. You're talking about respect to the very end. Honor to the very end. And the more important thing is, he was honoring God. Because God was going to intervene for David. He always does intervene for us, and we let God do what he does best. Verse 11, is that right? Yep. Moreover, thy father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. I've got the piece of robe. You see it. I cut it off your skirt. He didn't even know that. Saul never knew David cut it off of him. And I killed you not. Know this, and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand. And I have not sinned against you, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and you, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. This took some courage for him to stand before Saul, realizing that at any moment Saul could just destroy him. He's saying, I'm not going to touch you. Saul had a chance to. I'm not going to touch you, and I stand before you. God wants to do it, that's his deal, but it's not my deal. If we could learn that life lesson, that it's not vengeance, it's not ours, that judgment is not ours, that implementing penalties and punishment is not ours, it is the Lord's. And our job is to simply stay where God has placed us and walk with love, walk in integrity, and take the high road and do what's right. God will take care of the rest. You know, people call it this. I've been in retail many years, and I can play the game. I have no problem playing the game because I respect people. And people talk about, I can't play the game. I'm not going to brown nose nobody. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to suck up. I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm going to da-da-da-da-da. I have many bosses I didn't like and I didn't agree with. But you know what? I did what they told me. I always did what they told me. It's kind of like Barney Fife says, right? This old badge represents a lot of people a lot bigger than you, Mr. Bully. Well, you know what? That position of authority represents a lot of people bigger than you. And that authority is in place for a reason. And if we can't respect the authority of man, it's really hard to respect the authority of God. Now, a lot of us don't like that because we want to do it our way. But if we don't respect the authority God's put in place, church, we need to do a check of our heart and say, God, where am I at? Because you've put this person, whatever, in my life. That's who I work for. That's who's over me. And I'm going to respect that. I've been pulled many times through the years by cops. Not lately, but many times. I never got thrown to the ground or tased. Never got shot at or chased after. I never got threatened or felt violated. You know why? Because I showed respect. And I did what they told me. If a cop pulls me over and tells me to get out of the car, you know what I'm doing? I'm getting out of the car. And I'm getting out like this. Mr. Officer, here are my hands. Nothing on me. No needles, no weapons, no guns. Nothing on me. Go ahead and search me. I'm good. Nothing on me. I'm going to respect them. I've never had an issue with any officer, and they've always respected me. People will respect you when you respect them, in most cases. And even if they don't, you still respect them. You still do the right thing and take the high road because God's about to move for David's life. Go to the next scripture. Verse 13. As saith the proverb of the anxious, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon you. After whom the king of Israel come out, after whom dost thou pursue, after a dead dog, after a flea? The Lord, therefore, be judge, and judge between me and you, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of your hand. David's saying, I'm giving this to God. You want to kill me? You got the right to do that. But I'm talking to God about it and letting God be the judge of this and let God be Lord of my life. And it's up to God whether I die or not. That's really what he was saying. It's up to God if I die or not. It came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept and said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. Remember what Jesus talked about that? Blessing your enemies. Overcome good with evil. I mean, overcome evil with good. It's like heaping coals of fire on their head. They won't, man, I'm telling you. I say it many times. The best way to help lead someone to Jesus is to love the hell out of them. Love it out of them. Don't judge it out of them. Don't preach it out of them. Don't condemn it out of them. Love it out of them. Because they can't stand that. How could you love me? I'm nasty. Because Jesus loved me. But I've done you wrong, but Jesus done me right. But you shouldn't forgive me, but Jesus forgave me. It all goes back to what Christ did for us. And then us passing. You know the old expression, pay it forward. We pay it forward. You ever bought somebody's meal in a drive-thru behind you? That's a really neat thing to do. You ought to try it sometime. You don't even know them. Just say, I want to take care of the car behind me. That is such a neat thing to do. It's called paying it forward. Paying it forward. Jesus, what we do is we're paying it forward. We're giving that grace to someone when grace came to us. We're giving that mercy to someone when mercy came to us. David was showing grace and mercy to King Saul. He says, I've rewarded you with evil and you've done me good. So Saul's, you know, confessing the truth here. Verse 18. And you have showed this day how you have dealt well with me. For much as when the Lord had delivered me into your hand, you didn't kill me. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Not in normal battle. You wouldn't do that. Wherefore the Lord reward good for that which is done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear not therefore to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my seed after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul. Saul went home, but David and his men got them up into the hold. One more scripture, we'll be done. Go to the next. This is verse chapter 31. Go to 31. Let's see what happens to Saul here. 31 verse 2. The Philistines followed hand upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishah, Saul's sons. So Saul's three sons were killed. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. And Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. So we see how Saul's story ends. David didn't have to lift a hand. God just took care of it for him. God intervened and took care of it, and there was no blood on David's hands. David took the high road. David honored God. It's not easy taking the high road. Church, it's not easy going to someone that's wronged you, asking forgiveness, or you know, saying I forgive you, or accepting forgiveness from them. It's not easy. I got another scripture. That's right. I'll get that. Go ahead and pull that up. This is Romans chapter 12. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Remember what Jesus says, shine your light, do your good deeds, do your good works, not to get saved, not to go to heaven, but that they may see me in you. That's why we do them. You know why we live for God, why our deeds and works should be good, is they reflect our Father. You know, there's nothing that a parent is more proud of than a child that's turned out good. And there's nothing more devastating to a parent when a child turns out bad. And both reflect the parents. Now, it doesn't mean it's the parents' faults. I read a quote the other day I thought was really good. It said, talking about mom and dad, says, we raised you right, you chose to go wrong. And that's true. That happens a lot. But, man, you're so, when your child's a good child, when they've turned out good, and, you know, you're proud of them, you're like, oh, you just, oh, yeah, that's my girl. Yeah, that's my girl. You know, yeah, she's, you know, look at her. That's my boy. Look at him. Yeah, he's, you know, doing this, doing that. And we're just gleaming with pride because it reflects us. Well, we reflect our Heavenly Father with our good works. When we love people that's unlovable, we reflect God. When we forgive people, we're reflecting God. Everything we do under the Lord reflects His character. And that's what the world sees. Church, they can see. You know, they can see a lot of things that can deter them. You know, just a very small thing. If you watched any of the basketball finals, I think it was game six, Steph Curry got ejected from the game. And Steph Curry was a very pronounced, open Christian guy. Talked about his faith openly. And is a great, you know, talks about it openly. But he lost his cool in game six when he got ejected. And well, that's why he got ejected. He lost his cool. They caught a foul on him. He went kind of ballistic, crazy. Had to kind of bleep out some of his words. All of a sudden, that old flesh came out. Now, the first thing folks are going to say is, look at that. He's a Christian. Talks about Jesus. And looked at him, bleep his words out. Act like a maniac, doing his arms, getting the referee's face, bleeping out his words. Because people like to point to that. But you know what? Millions of people saw that. Millions of people saw that. And so no matter what Steph Curry says, many will think, well, that's what happened when the button was pushed. When it didn't go his way, that's how he acted. We are to shine our light even in bad situations. And that's where the true test is. Remember what Jesus says? If someone slaps you in the face, what do? Turn the cheek? It's not talking about some guy come knocks you in the head. It's not talking about that. It's talking about when someone hurts you, just don't hurt them back. Just let God deal with that. Let God handle it. Go to the next verse. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. We're peacemakers, church. As Christians, we're peacemakers. We're not instigators. We're not troublemakers. We're supposed to be peacemakers. That means if there's tension in the air, we're supposed to help calm that tension. We're God's people. We're to live at peace, not war with other people. Verse 19, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That takes the pressure off of us. We go around like hitmen sometimes, don't we? We don't have to be hitmen. God will take care of that for us. Taking the high road never fails. And last verse, verse 20. I got to, that's right, 21. If your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him a drink. In doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. He won't be able to stand that when you love him like that. People are used to being judged. They're almost looking for that. They're almost looking for that. But when you heap love on them and forgiveness and mercy, they can't handle that. Last verse, 21. Do not be overcome by evil. See, David was not. David never let evil overcome him. But David overcame evil with good. He honored his covenant to God to the end. Easy to honor God when things are good, church. Easy to honor God. Easy to praise Jesus when the bills are paid. Easy to shout hallelujah when you got your new man, new woman. All that's good. Easy to praise God when you got that new car, new house. But when things get rough, when things go downward, that's the true test of where you are in your faith. Will I rise and remain steadfast and say, God, you are unmovable and you are unshakable and you are still God, and I will honor you to the very end? Or do we pack our tent and fold and say, God, I don't know where you're at? David never put a hand to Saul because he recognized it wasn't his job to do that. He honored his Lord and Master in the earth to the very end, and God honored him. And the rest of the story, of course, we know David was made king, became king of Israel, was very prosperous for many of his years, and was very blessed, and had a heart for God all of his days. Even in his sin, he had a heart for God. God honored David. So, honor God. Honor authority, we honor God. So that is my message tonight. I hadn't read that story in many years as far as really going through it all. And this has a great principles to apply to our lives today if we really take it and listen to it. David was a man after God's own heart, and he kept it at the very end. So walk with integrity, church. Take the high road, no matter how hard it is. Take the high road. It always pays to take the high road and do what's right in God's eyes, always. All right. Any comments tonight on that? Any questions or anything?